listening to Ask the CIO, brought to you by CenturyLink. Now, here is your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Chief Information Officer of the Transportation Security Administration. Dr. Emma, thank you so much for taking the time. This is a return engagement for you. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much, Jason, for having me on the show again. It's my pleasure to be here.
So let's start with some basics. A lot of people think they know what the Transportation Security Administration does, but give me the 30-second elevator pitch of what really TSA does, because it's a very broad mission.
Yes. So I think there are many people that don't understand that TSA is a very large organization. First of all, it has about 60,000 plus employees. About 50,000 of those employees are actually located at our airport. And we operate out of 450 federalized airports and 23 international locations. And we operate in all modes of transportation, six different modes. What we're most known for is what we do in aviation. But many people don't know that we encounter in our airports about 2 million passengers a day, 14 million passengers a week. That's about 60 million passengers a month. And if you keep going, you can see over a year's period of time that our interactions are really, really significant. Within our IT organization, we have a budget of about $400 million, and I support all of those locations, plus our headquarters location and all of our other field locations around the country and around the world.
So it's been about 2 years since we last talked, so I think there's a lot to catch up. A lot of your priorities at the time probably have made a lot of progress. So let's start with the big one. One at the time was TSA data centers, obviously the migration from those data centers to the one DHS data center, the two of them that are being constructed now. Give me an update on the status of that effort and some of the benefits you're starting to see from that migration.
At that time and since that time, there have been a number of mandates that have come out at the federal level regarding data center migration. There has been an OMB mandate that came out in 2010. There has also been the federal CIO 25-point plan that also talks about data center migration, not just within DHS, but across the federal government. TSA was out front even before those mandates came out, where we started to move our first data center in 2008, and we completed that move in 2009. And then we moved on to the next data center. So we have completely moved two data centers since I spoke to you last. In addition to that, we are in the process of moving a third data center, and we have the planning underway for a fourth data center, which will cover most of our data centers. We will have two remaining ones to plan for and to actually get moved.
So you're talking about a total of four data centers in the end will move, or five?
A total of six data centers in the end will have moved.
Okay, and then is there plans to shut any of those down or consolidate them so you'll go from having those six to three or four?
Right now, based on the direction and guidance we have from DHS and OMB and the federal mandate, our plans are to move those data centers into the two DHS data centers, the one that's in Clarksville or the one that's in Stennis, Mississippi. So one of the two, data center one or data center two.
So in many ways, you are consolidating those six just into those two at DHS. So you're
that is correct.
You're meeting those goals.
That is the path that we are on right now, is to meet that mandate, to meet those goals, and to do it over the next few years.
So give me a sense. You've already, as you said, moved those two data centers to the DHS data centers. Are you starting to see some benefits? Are you starting to see some things that are easier because of the migration?
Yes. The move into the data center, we got some immediate benefits. One, we were in a very modern data center, that was recently built and put in place. So we benefited from all the modernization that had gone on within the data center. In addition to that, it allowed us to increase our cybersecurity posture, because we were able to get behind the policy enforcement points that's a part of the whole DHS security architecture. And we're also able to take advantage of the trusted internet connection also. So some of the bigger DHS initiatives, we have gained benefit from those initiatives by being in the data center. And we were also able to do some modernization as a part of that move. And we were also able to create more robustness and just make some changes that really needed to be made as a part of that move. So the benefits have already been seen as a part of the decision to move and the actual move itself.
When you talk about some of those benefits, are you also talking cost savings, or is it more efficiencies, not necessarily from a money standpoint, but from, hey, we're able to take this legacy system that used to be a mainframe and now put it in the cloud, for instance, which is a private cloud at DHS?
To date, it's more of the latter. Now, TSA is only 10 years old, so when we talk about legacy, our legacy is not the legacy you would see with other components within DHS, but we have seen some benefits in that particular category where we have some efficiencies. If you look at the the infrastructure of the data center, we're getting to take advantage of that from a power, from a resiliency standpoint, from a redundancy standpoint. So there are a lot of those benefits that we gained immediately. I believe over time, as some of the other initiatives come to fruition within DHS as a department, we will start to see some of the cost benefits being realized as well. And there have been some cost benefits as well. But we are really benefiting from being in a newer, more modern facility.
That's a great segue. You make my job very easy. When you talk about some of those other benefits that DHS is doing, there's a lot of what we call as-a-service offerings. I think there's something like 12 as-a-service offerings that DHS has either put in place or are putting in place. Has TSA started down that path yet to take advantage of, for instance, you know, the email as a service or the desktop as a service?
The first and most immediate service that we are looking at is email as a service. And that's essentially, I would put under software as a service if you're looking at the larger infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service. So we are definitely looking to take advantage of email as a service. I would view email as a commodity today. It's something that we use over and over again. It's core to what we do in our daily lives. It's become like the electricity for the lights and your heating system in your building. And so there are great benefits in going to email as a service. There are cost benefits. If you look at the O&M, if you look at all of the support mechanisms required to run an email system, we will be able to leverage that as a service and reduce our total cost of ownership and allow us to move more rapidly to later versions of software and new capabilities that are being made available from the vendor. We are also looking at development and test as a service. And as a matter of fact, TSA is leading the way, and we will be the first component within DHS to take advantage of dev test as a service. So that's also important to us as well. And we really are taking advantage of the cost savings, the optimization that we're able to take advantage of as well. And I think the service offerings coming out of the department, whether they originate there or if it's a service developed by a component and transitioned over to the department for enterprise use across all of DHS, it's very important. And I believe with some of the budgetary challenges that we have today and that will most likely be there into the future, the as-a-service offerings are very, very important from an innovation standpoint and a cost-saving standpoint going forward.
So the test and development service, you said you're going to be leading the way, one of the first ones to take advantage of that. When do you foresee, or are you already using it to a certain extent?
We haven't started to use it yet, but it's in the coming months we will be taking advantage of that service.
And currently, as you guys do test and development, do you do it internally? Do you have kind of an internal system to do it? And then by moving it to the cloud, it becomes, there's some benefits, as you said, the cost model, but also the optimization where more people maybe can take advantage easier to use it?
That is correct, because right now we are really pretty much doing it on a component-by-component basis. We have our own dev test services currently in the data center. As the services become available, we will be able to shut down the dev test services that we own and we actually run and move over to those services being run by DHS. And because you're going to have, you know, the economy of scale is one of the things that you're going to get here by having multi-tenants using the same services. So you're going to get full benefits out of those services.
And as far as email, as you said, you had said that you're just starting to look at email as a service. Is there a plan for that? Do you maybe hope to get that done over the next 6 months to the next year?
Yes, we are looking at that, and we are looking at hopefully being able to start that process in the coming fiscal year.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hit upon maybe some other priorities that you've talked about last time on the show. But you're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today, Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Let's see, growing digital needs go here. So many different applications over here. So where does IT budget stretch to the limit go?
Game over.
Fortunately, CenturyLink Government has an answer with its vast portfolio of cloud services so customers get the right mix of performance and features. CenturyLink, solutions that work, service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal. This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, synchronize email and instant messaging over here. Merge web and video conferencing down here. But that leaves mobile, landline, and VoIP phones out of the loop.
Solve your agency's communications challenges with CenturyLink Government Unified Communications. Products that work together and help deploying and maintaining them. CenturyLink. Solutions that work. Service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Dr. Emma, before break, we were talking a lot about your other priorities over the last few years that we talked about the first time you were on the show back in 2010. One of the other ones you talked about was at the time was the IT infrastructure contract called ITIPS. I think you had just awarded or you're just about to award that contract to CSC 2 years ago. So now that you're 2 years into it, give me a sense of what benefits you're enjoying and seeing from that contract.
CSC is our current managed service provider for our infrastructure here at TSA. For the first instantiation of a contract was with Unisys Corporation. So 2 years ago, July 1st, we actually awarded the new contract, and we transitioned from Unisys over to CSC. That was a very, very fast transition. We did it in about 90 days. It's probably unheard of for a contract of that size. Now the CSC is on board. It's allowed us to really move forward in all of the things that we do here at TSA. This is a core contract. Almost any effort that goes forward here uses some element of work that's being done on that contract, because our core infrastructure, our routers, our servers, our switches, our security capabilities, they're all wrapped up in that contract. So it's core to everything we do here at TSA.
So can you give me a sense of maybe some of the areas that you see the most progress in? I mean, you talked a lot, routers, switches, security, a lot of that stuff is back office stuff, but it really makes a difference for that day-to-day network and the upkeep and the security of that, of the ability of TSA employees to do their job.
The importance of having an upgraded infrastructure and the latest capabilities of that infrastructure is important to something that we use on a daily basis, such as email. It allows us really to be able to deploy the latest versions of the commercial software. It also, for our communications, our command and control for TSA, so all of our communication systems ride on that infrastructure, and having an updated infrastructure allows us to deploy those capabilities, the latest capabilities that are out there, whether it's our mobile telephones, if it's from a radio perspective, any type of communications that we're doing here at TSA depends upon that infrastructure, and having that contract in place and being able to deploy the latest and greatest versions of software, hardware, all of our infrastructure has been very key to us moving forward as an agency.
And that was the other thing that you talked about last time, was the modernization of the TSA infrastructure. Now, I remember covering TSA back when it first was birthed from Congress, post 9/11. And you guys definitely had the what they used to call the red, white, and blue implementation of the infrastructure. How has the infrastructure changed? I mean, can you point to some specific differences to say, now TSOs in the field can do this, or now our employees at headquarters can do that? Can you give me a sense of that change?
Well, I think some of the upgrades that we've put in place has really helped around performance. And actually, some of the things that we're doing right now, for instance, we're doing a large computer refresh effort across the entire TSA enterprise. That's allowing us to decommission older computers. As you know, the technology cycle is very, very fast right now. So, it used to be 18 to 24 months. We're seeing a lot of 6 to 9 months of new capabilities being brought to the market. And so we're able to put the latest and greatest computers out there for our workforce, which should really contribute to improved performance, because particularly in the training arena, because there's a lot of training that happens in the field for our employees.
That technology refresh, which we may talk about a little bit later on when we talk about your new priorities, how far into that are you?
We're doing some pilots. We've done some initial deployments to support some early training requirements. And then our big kickoff will start in the October timeframe.
And when you talk about these new technology refresh, a lot of things I hear from other CIOs talks about thin clients or zero clients, where the person gets a monitor and a keyboard and everything else is kind of a web-based perspective. Are you guys looking at that yet? Or are you still doing maybe a combination of that and client-server setup?
So right now, we're deploying your traditional computers, and we're using more traditional approach right now. And that has to do with really timing and trying to get the new technology to the field. But doing that does not prohibit us from taking advantage of the virtual desktop infrastructure as we go forward. And as DHS offer that as a service, we'll be able to incorporate that into our environment as well. Because as you know, with VDI, it really doesn't matter whether you have a full desktop, a laptop, or ultra-lightweight device, you can still take advantage of it.
Now, whenever you talk about new computers or tech refresh, the idea of mobile always comes up. You hear a lot of agencies still moving from those traditional desktops to laptops or to, you know, tablet computers. And that was one of the other priorities you mentioned last time when we spoke, was about the idea of the meeting the computing needs of the workforce from a mobile perspective. And this is also something I think we talked about in April. I think you were at a conference and you said you're in the early stages of developing a mobile policy. Give me a sense about that policy. What's the latest of that?
I think we've made a lot of really, really good progress with regards to mobile. And I think as I think about what our needs are here at TSA, it's not that we need a single device or a single type of device. We need the right device to match up with what the needs of our end users are. And different end users have different needs. So, for instance, in the case of training, there are times when the training materials, based on how they're developed today, may need to be locally available on a computer. And so in environments where that is a need today, then we need to be able to provide that. There are other places where the information can be anywhere, and the end user just wants to be able to access that information. Some of those end users want to be able to use a tablet-type device to get to that information. That is what is needed. It meets their needs, and they can use it. Others individuals want more of a full computer, but they want a computer that's lightweight because they're mobile, they're traveling, and often that can be at the executive level as well as other levels within the organization. And then others want a normal, everyday, 3-pound laptop that they're going to use to get their work done. Our goal is to match the technology to the needs of our end users and to give them some level of choice based on the type of work they're doing, the environment in which they are working, and the information exchange that's necessary in order for them to get their job done. So I'd like for us to not be nearly as prescriptive as to say, and I say in the past we've probably been more like that, here's your device, use this device to get your job done, and we hope it meets all of your needs. And we really are trying to make sure we better match technology with the needs of the organization. Better IT alignment to the business needs is really a goal that we have here.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you're doing that? I mean, is it a survey of your employees? Are you talking to the managers and asking, you know, the managers of each department to give you a list, a spreadsheet or something?
Well, we have a number of things. What we really try to do and have a common methodology that's repeatable and that we can use to kind of figure out what our business needs are within the organization. And one of the things we do around technology is we develop use cases. So we develop use cases around our legal organization, what their needs are. We develop use cases around our Office of Security Operations, what they need in the field, what they might need at an airport. Also around our Office of Public Affairs, which here today, because they have some unique use cases, and then there are some common use cases. We also have use cases that come out of the Office of Information Technology. So what we've done is develop use cases based on our business owners, our program owner needs, and then we do pilots that allow us to test out those use cases and see how we can match the right technology to their needs. So the use cases are really, really an important part of our methodology for determining what the end user needs are, and then being able to bring to bear the technology on a much broader scale for the organization.
Any surprises that have come from some use cases? People who say, oh, I definitely need a tablet and a mobile phone, and in the end, the good old desktop works just fine for them?
Absolutely, because we didn't really talk about the consumerization of technology, but we hear that all the time. A lot of the latest technologies were and are designed for the individual users. They were not designed for the business environment. So those users come in with those devices that they've been using at home, and they want to use them in the workplace. And when you try to do that within the business environment, within the enterprise environment, it doesn't always translate as well. And so through some of the use cases, we're able to figure out, well, while initially this device seemed like it was the right solution, it turns out a different device is the right solution, or a different application is the right solution. So the use cases allow us, through the initial operating capability time frame to really work through all of those issues so that we can get to a final operating capability that's going to match up with the business need.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some of your new priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Let's see, growing digital needs go here. So many different applications over here. So where does IT budget stretch to the limit go?
Fortunately, CenturyLink Government has an answer with its vast portfolio of cloud services so customers get the right mix of performance and features. CenturyLink, solutions that work, service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal. This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, synchronize email and instant messaging over here. Merge web and video conferencing down here. But that leaves mobile, landline, and VoIP phones out of the loop.
Solve your agency's communications challenges with CenturyLink Government Unified Communications. Products that work together and help deploying and maintaining them. CenturyLink. Solutions that work. Service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Dr. Emma, before break, we spent a lot of time talking about getting an update from our last conversation, but you also mentioned a new priority, the tech refresh. I'm sure you have several others on your plate. Talk a little bit about what you hope to get done over the next 6 or 9 months.
There are some priorities that are continuing. So as I spoke earlier about the data center migration, we still have more data center moves to take place. So that'll carry over into the coming year as well. The secure mobile computing is also another priority that will continue into the coming years. I think we have made a great deal of progress with mobile computing, and we have deployed a number of devices, and we have some fairly broad use right now at TSA, and we're looking forward to expanding that usage. Some of our challenges have been, of course, around the security, and also mobile device management has been another important area as well, and we continue to work that, not just at the TSA level, but across the department. DHS has a digital technology strategy that's going on. I'm a part of that. I'm supporting it as one of the DHS executives. And so we're not just looking at how can we do things within TSA, but how can we make sure that we're aligned, we're also supporting, and we're helping to drive the direction that DHS is going, because we will all benefit from doing things on a joint manner, vice doing it as an individual agency. I think with cloud computing, it really opens the doors, and with the services that comes around, and also with virtualization and some of the other advances in technology, it's really allowing us to do a lot more on a department-wide scale. So from a priority standpoint, that's very important to me, and I believe the derived benefits will continue to grow and be manifested over time. So that's a big commitment that I have coming into the next year, is really supporting those broader initiatives that are going to have great value, not just at the DHS level, but across all of the components. The other area that will be continuing to be a priority is cybersecurity. As you know, there's much in the news about cyber attacks, cyber threats, and cyber vulnerabilities. So I am always concerned about, yes, deploying new technologies, yes, having the latest and greatest technologies, but we also have to ensure that we're protecting the data of the agency as well as protecting our network. So having a secure cyber environment is a priority that will continue, and will continue, again, not just to work within TSA, but with DHS and across the DHS department to ensure that we have a secure cyber posture and that we are deploying the latest methodologies and the latest capabilities to protect our data and our network.
Let's go down that cyber path just for a little bit. Obviously, there's a big push from OMB around continuous monitoring. This is an effort that the DHS, National Programs and Protections Directorate, is leading. Are you guys there yet with continuous monitoring? Are you going down that path yet?
We are definitely going down that path, and I think that we are helping to lead the department. We have our Security Operations Center that has been up and running for a few years now, and we are continuing to develop our continuous monitoring framework. And the Chief Information Security Officer here is a part of the DHS Council, and that group has worked very, very hard to create a really, really robust framework for DHS and for all of the components within DHS. So that is on our radar screen, and we have been very forward-leaning in ensuring that we have that capability in place here at TSA.
Are there other areas around cyber? You talked about your security operations center. A lot of agencies have those in place. I mean, are there other areas around cyber that you're trying to address?
Yes, well, there is the other part of cyber where we work very closely with the National Protections and Program Directorate, NPPD, with regards to TSA being the sector-specific agency, along with the Coast Guard, for transportation as well as U.S. Postal and Shipping Services as well. So we have that through the National Infrastructure Protection Plan. TSA has been designated as the SSA. And so we have a lot of work that we do, not just within the government, but also with the private sector, because that plan is all about how do we work with the private sector with regards to cybersecurity, because 85% or more of the infrastructure is actually owned by the private sector. So we work with all of the modes of transportation in conjunction with our Office of Strategy and Industry Engagement, and we look at all modes of transportation. We're mostly known for what we do in the aviation arena, right, because everybody knows about the airports, but we also have pipeline, freight rail, maritime, mass transit, and highways. And so we have a cybersecurity summit that's coming up later this month, where we are actually bringing together both government, industry, and academia to do an exchange and an engagement around cybersecurity and the critical infrastructure that we depend upon every day to get our job done and to live our lives. So that is coming up. So that's really that's an important engagement, because we need to make sure that all of our bases are covered, both our internal activities that I have responsibility for, but also in supporting the external cybersecurity activities.
So one of the other things you mentioned is the mobile device and mobile device management and the strategy around that. There's also a big push around and across the government for telework. How do those two initiatives kind of come together?
I have kind of a goal as a CIO is to be able to provide information anytime, anywhere, on any device. And so I think that's where mobile computing comes in. And in support of telework, we want to be able to support our workforce wherever they're working from, whether they're working at home, if they're working in a teleworking center, if they're working at an alternate location. We want to be able to give them the capability that they need to be able to get their work done. And mobile devices is a key part of that from a communication standpoint, also from an information sharing standpoint, and just engaging with the broader community. The other thing that we have infused into support of teleworking, as well as just interacting with our headquarters in field or field-to-field type locations, have been to get a much better video capability out to our workforce, and not just big conference room, but computer-to-computer type video teleconferencing capability, meeting-to-meeting type capabilities. And so we have used our mobile capabilities, along with our video capabilities, along with our traditional capabilities, to try to really support a mobile workforce. And whether that's for someone teleworking, if it's with some of our personnel at the airports, or some of our personnel that are operating overseas, we're trying to give them the right kinds of devices to support what they're trying to do.
All right, sounds like we could probably talk a little bit longer, but unfortunately we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, the Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer and Assistant Administrator for Information Technology. Dr. Emma, thank you so much for the return engagement.
You're very welcome, Jason. Thank you again for the opportunity to come on to the show and to share what's happening here at TSA from an IT perspective.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The show has been sponsored by CenturyLink. If you missed any portion of this broadcast, you can hear the show in its entirety on demand or podcast on federalnewsradio.com.